Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and click the bell for notifications. Jasmine Crockett 2028, at least for Democratic nominee, I'm totally fine with that. Get the shirt, the mug, get everything at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code Stu10 for 10% off. We have Rob Eno here in a little bit to grade the mainstream media on their recent LA riot coverage. Going to be, I'm sure, an A-plus from Rob. Speaking of the riots, we'll take a look at where the next round might pop up in your neighborhood. But we start by doing Greta's Grand Adventure. I hope you've been following the saga. It's been so much fun. Let me take you through it from the beginning in case you missed anything, because, you know, your city might have been on fire. You might not have been following, you know, Greta's big boat adventure. But she took a ride on a boat, and that's where we start. Climate activist Greta Thunberg joins the aid ship sailing to Gaza, the sailing boat Madeleine, operated by activist group Freedom Flotilla Coalition, certainly not at all tied to anything on the left. Totally independent organization. Departed from the Sicilian port of Catania in southern Italy. It will try to reach the shores of the Gaza Strip in an effort to bring in some aid, sure, and raise international awareness for the ongoing humanitarian crisis, they said at a press conference. Which, of course, is their real job, doing press conferences. We are doing this because no matter what odds we are against, we have to keep trying. How dare you, Thunberg said, bursting into tears during her speech yet again, because the moment we stop trying is when we lose our humanity. And no matter how dangerous this mission is, really, is it dangerous? Was it, Greta? It's not even near as dangerous as the silence of the entire world in the face of the live stream genocide. Yeah, I really haven't heard anything from the Palestinian side this entire time. They've been totally silent. Not one person speaking up and saying that it's been a genocide and Israel's causing it. That's just been so quiet. I mean, sure, there's been a demonstration basically at every major college every single week for the past, year and a half. Till what would that start? It was such a while ago. How could I possibly know the date? Let's say October 8th, 2023. Interesting. Anyway, so she's going to go on this boat. Here is the boat, by the way. That's a fabulous boat. Does that look like a boat that people struggle on? Does that look like a flotilla? Does it? To me, it looks like a freaking yacht. It looks like the type of thing that I couldn't afford to rent for a weekend. That's what it looks like to me. It looks incredible, except for the Palestinian flags. I definitely wouldn't rent that one. By the way, as I mentioned, you're not going to be surprised to hear the funding for this particular boat adventure comes from who else but London-based Hamas operative behind her flotilla, Zahir Berawi. He was described in Parliament as a person with, quote, links to Hamas, called himself a founding member of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, which arranged the voyage by the aid boat Madeleine. Not Madeline, but Madeleine. Israel vows to prevent the aid boat carrying Greta Thunberg and her other activists from reaching Gaza. You, of course, know what happened with this one. Defense Minister Israel Katz said Israel's not going to allow anyone to break the naval blockade into Palestinian territory, which he said was aimed at preventing Hamas from importing arms, which they were doing, by the way. The reason why the blockade exists is because aid shipments that looked like aid shipments were actually arms shipments. To the anti-Semitic Greta and her fellow Hamas propagandists, I will say this clearly. You should turn back because you will not make it to Gaza, he said in a statement. Of course, that was, obviously going to be the way this story turned out. And it did turn out that way. Israeli forces seize Gaza aid boat carrying poor, lovable, huggable Greta. Now, Greta was on this ship. This is what it looked like. I mean, look at how terrible this life looks. She's got her hands up. This is the moment it happened. She was like saying, live stream genocide. And they were, of course, live streaming their boat adventure, I'm sure. And then she was kidnapped. Yes, kidnapped. I'm saying that I know it was a kidnapping. The Israelis who said, don't come, we have a blockade there, we're not going to let you through, then kidnapped Greta. Now, one of the things you know about kidnappings, obviously, the first thing the kidnappers do is let you release a video about your kidnapping. Not one that says, oh, please come here and rescue me like a hostage video. No, no. Just you get to tell your side of the story. That's one of the things that hostage takers like to do. They want to make sure they give you all the options to get your side out there, just in case people are upset. They can, you know, so they can be identified. They get credit for the kidnapping, all the things that kidnappers always do. Here is Greta with her kidnapping video.
My name is Greta Thunberg and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
Greta Thunberg! Now, of course, the word comrades, pretty useful. Pretty useful. I mean, could have said buddies, said pals, but with comrades there. I don't know what the Swedish government's going to do about this situation. I mean, they're probably like, good God, do we have to deal with her again? Greta Thunberg. She was going to be released almost immediately from all of this, of course. But there, that didn't stop media members, pro-Hamas apologists, coming out and taking her side and saying how terrible all this was. In fact, how shocking and impossible it was. Mehdi Hassan, who does this basically for a living, said, imagine, just imagine the response from the West if the Iranian government in international waters had rammed and then boarded a European ship filled with European citizens and taken them captive. But it's Israel, so it's all good. Our citizens don't matter. Interesting. There was a response to this, by the way. We don't have to imagine it, Mehdi. In November 2023, Iran-backed Houthi terrorists hijacked the Galaxy leadership and took its 25 international crew members hostage. They were held in Yemen for over 14 months until January 2025. How many times did you tweet about that? Now, I don't want to send you to Mehdi Hassan's Twitter page, but what you're going to find is none. Zero is what you're going to find. So don't bother. So you get Greta goes on this boat journey. They tell her in advance they're going to stop her. They do stop her. Now, again, this is a genocidal regime by their telling, right? All they're doing is killing people. That's all they want to do. You'd think they're in the middle of the ocean somewhere. They could make anybody disappear, I'm sure, if they wanted to. Genocidal regimes, like, I don't remember Hitler being like, you know what, we're gonna make sure we release all these Jews immediately when we catch them. That's not normally what happened back in the day. It doesn't happen when Hamas captures them, as we found out, unfortunately, all far too many times since October 7th. But the Israel Foreign Ministry did tweet out this lovely picture of Greta. Greta Thunberg is currently on her way to Israel, safe and in good spirits. It's an adorable photo of her in a little puffy life jacket with a frog hat, just smiling at a wonderful sandwich. And I will say, if you look closely, prepackaged sandwiches. What kind of genocidal terrorists are they? Prepackaged sandwiches. I mean, will you please just cut the sliced meat fresh? Is that too much to ask? All she's trying to do is break a naval blockade, and you're giving her prepackaged sandwiches? A disgrace. Disgrace. Where is the international courts when you need them? Not telling the story about the challah sandwich inside a wrapper. Oh my gosh, just, you know, abhorrent. It's the only thing I can come up with on that one. Of course, again, a genocidal regime doesn't hand out sandwiches like that. They're not usually doing that. By the way, they are doing that also to the people who came over the border and killed and murdered and raped a bunch of their citizens. They are distributing millions of meals across Gaza. The lies about them being starved to death. I mean, does anyone at some point recognize how hungry they'd be by now? Like, they're like, oh, these people are going to starve to death. How long? Like, I don't understand. You've been saying they've been starving for like a year and a half. At some point, they get too hungry, right? Like that, they would starve to death. Now, it is a really difficult time over in Gaza for the, you know, 10% of the population who doesn't want every Jew to die. So, you know, I feel bad for those people. That being said, Israel is distributing lots and lots of aid over there. Now, a lot of times when they bring it over there, it gets stolen by Hamas. A lot of times when they bring it over there, the people bringing it over there get shot at. So it's a little bit of a difficult operation, but certainly there's a lot of help and help coming from America as well for aid into that area, supposedly targeted towards the people over there that, you know, don't want every Jew to die. But it's hard. It's a really difficult thing to find at times over in that category and in that area. And I categorize that mainly by polling that we've seen of the Palestinian territories. The Gaza-bound aid boat with Greta Thunberg is on board, arriving in Israel after its seizure. So what do? They brought her to Israel. What are they going to do? Torture, right? First of all, prepackaged sandwiches and then torture. Those are the two things on the agenda. Shockingly, not really. There was a medical exam to make sure she was okay. The selfie yacht, which is a great name for this, the selfie yacht docked at a port a short while ago. The passengers are currently undergoing medical examinations to ensure they are in good health, as any genocidal maniac would do. That's the story of Mao's, communist China, when he would constantly bring people in for medical evaluations before murdering them. That's, of course, how that went as well. And shocking, deportation was around the corner. Israel deporting Greta Thunberg and other activists on the Gaza aid boat. Ms. Thunberg and another passenger were flown out of the airport near Tel Aviv. Two more activists were expected to be sent home later on Tuesday, according to Israeli officials. Eight other passengers from the vessel, the Madeleine, refused to sign deportation documents and were brought before an Israeli immigration tribunal on Tuesday. It's interesting that Greta did. She's like, yeah, I'm going to sign that thing. Let me get out of here. I was only in here for, look, I knew it was going to happen here. You got to believe Greta knows, right? She's been a professional activist her entire life. And she knows what's going to happen here. If she really believed, if she really believed there was going to be a genocide going on and these people were, if she really believed that these people were Hitler, right? Would she really turn herself over to their military? Is that what people were doing to prove a point back in World War II? Not really. I'm pretty sure the awareness is, that ball is being carried by people like Mehdi Hassan in the media. Everyone knows about this. If you want to believe that the Israelis are genocidal maniacs, there's plenty of news sources to tell you that. You don't need to go on a boat over there to drop off a couple bags of flour that you know you're not going to. Here she is on the plane home, looking very. She seems to be wearing a ribbon of sorts. I'm sure that's meaningful to her for some reason. All her defenders, however, and also Hamas apologists, were on the case to make sure that everyone knew how terrible the situation was for Greta. This is one of them. Not the most important thing, but just to underscore the depravity. Now, remember, the depravity of the moment. Think of this. You've got these depraved, awful actors, genocidal maniacs. What are they doing? Are they torturing her? Are they doing what Hamas did to Jews on October 7th? No. What they're doing is giving her prepackaged sandwiches. We've already criticized them for that. We're on record. But also, they're flying her on a plane. And as this activist goes on to say, it's almost certainly the case that the Israelis put Greta on an airplane because they know she doesn't fly out of principle. So they wanted to humiliate her and get a propaganda image out of it for kicks. Now, I will say, if that's why they did that, it would be worth it. 100% worth it. If that was the reason they did it, great job, Israel. However, as Noah Blum pointed out, what other way is there to get for her to get back to Europe? A bus through Syria and Turkey? I mean, you could do that. I suppose you could take a Greyhound through Syria, but I don't know. The Damascus roads these days, a little bumpy. I don't know that I would necessarily go that way. By the way, I love this one as well. Arian Wexler points out, world record, Greta Thunberg becomes the first hostage victim in history whose kidnappers only demand is that she leave. it's so good and so true. Trump, of course, got into the middle of this as well. He was asked about Greta, and here's what he had to say.
Do you have a message for Greta Thunberg, and did she come up on your call with the Prime Minister today?
Well, she's a strange person. She's a young, angry person. I don't know if it's real anger. It's hard to believe, actually, but I saw what happened. She's certainly different. Anger management. I think she has to go to an anger management class.
Yeah, she's a little intense. She doesn't seem like the person who'd be having lots of fun on vacation, right? She doesn't seem like the person you necessarily want to travel with. Greta did respond to that. She said, the world needs a lot more young, angry women. I assure you, they do not.
The world does not need more young, angry women. We do not need more Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes in the world, right? Like, we do not need another collection, if you will, of young women whose IQ is lower than their age. We do not need that. I promise you, that's not a thing that we need. And I know it's difficult to understand. By the way, if you were worried about how it would be to vacation with Greta Thunberg, look no further than, you know, a week before she went on this yacht and this important journey to stop fascism or whatever she was doing. Greta was on vacation and on a wonderful beach in Italy. Were you? Did you get to a wonderful beach in Italy anytime recently? I hope you did. I mean, you know, like we do, research has shown we have a very affluent audience on this program, but I would say most people, even in this audience, probably weren't in Italy enjoying the water, enjoying a little swimmy time. I feel like I'd see her in swimmies. I feel like she normally would wear swimmies, but there she is celebrating right beforehand. I will say it's a bit of a pivot from beautiful Italian beach to I'm fighting terrorism or fighting genocide for terrorists in Gaza. And she's had a big transition. I mean, if you think about the path that she's taken just to get there, the boat, with which was not just a sailboat, the sails weren't up. It was a diesel engine on Sinai chugging along, then getting all the Israeli military out there to stop you, bringing them back, and then bringing you across land, and then having you fly from the airport all the way back to Europe. A lot of emissions that didn't need to go into the atmosphere were emitted. But if you're this big pro-global warming activist, that transition might seem a little jarring to pro-terrorist, which she's kind of gone, a big anti-Semitic transition. Though in reality, it's not as jarring as one might think. There's an incredible amount of crossover between those two groups. It's almost like they're actually not two groups at all, and really just one with one goal. And, you know, as we say, as I think it was David Horowitz first said, the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. And that is where we are. Now, I don't know, honestly, if Greta Thunberg knows anything about this. I mean, like, you know, there's been conversation in the media by, you know, some medical analysts and stuff that have talked about her situation. She does deal with some sort of ailment. You know, she's been talked about. She at least describes herself as on the spectrum. I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, she, if that's true, one of the, you know, often you hear about kind of an extreme focus on certain things, you know, when you're dealing with a situation like that, that could be what it is. Like, she gets, you know, so overwhelmed by what she's dealing with that she gets focused on one thing and can't let it go. Whether she's right or wrong is not really the issue. Of course, it was never the issue for the media, whether she was right or wrong. Now, she's made people a little bit uncomfortable because of the constant anti-Semitism that has crept into her commentary. They kind of promoted her. I mean, I think she was Time Person of the Year one year, wasn't she? I think she was Time Person of the Year one year. When you raise someone up like that, again, she was a child at that point. When you raise someone up like that and you tell them everything they say is magical and you're making such a difference, a lot of times they go down weird roads like this. And then you're like, oh, crap, wait, that's who she is? We didn't really necessarily want to embrace all the anti-Semitism stuff. The normies on the left are saying that. Of course, the movement on the left is saying, actually, those things work perfectly well together. They're very, very consistent. And Greta might very well just be a useful idiot, maybe the most useful, most idiot person of all time. She really doesn't seem to know anything about the stuff that she's talking about. And it's sad. I mean, I do think there is a bit of sadness tied into all of this. She's an adult now, so you feel a little bit less sad mocking her. But frankly, she deserves to be criticized. You know, she's been given this gift of a massive platform, and she's using it to basically argue for a group of people who want to murder all the Jews in the world. So it's hard to really give her too much sympathy, frankly. But that was one of the things. Now, when she was a kid, you know, he felt bad, and he didn't like the influence that was hitting her. She's an adult now, so she kind of is a little bit more fair game. That was one of the reasons, actually, why the first time we talked about Greta on this program, by the way, I think you'd like it. Go back and watch it. It's episode 2 of this program. It's called Stu Does Greta's Parents. And I remember the second show that we did was Stu Does Greta's Parents. They were surprised by the whole night, the whole evening. But we went through where the motivation comes from, because that's the sad part about the Greta story. Her parents let her down this very bizarre road. They were very strange people in the first place, let her down a very bizarre road, let her kind of essentially become, you know, a social media star, right? Which is never a good idea for your kids. And then in addition to that, if you kind of build on top of that whole story, when they stopped parenting her like that, the media and the left took over in that role. They became her parents. They became the same type of people, almost like the really bad, like, agent that takes over some Disney star and like tries to, you know, does all sorts of crazy things behind the scenes to make her famous. That's kind of where we went with the story. They're using her. I don't know that she knows it. She might know it. She might like the life in Italy, you know, going to the beach, and maybe this is fine for her. Maybe this is just her lot in life at this point. But she's being used and used by horrible, horrible human beings that are having her go out here and make an idiot of herself in her young adult years. It is a sad, sad story, but one you certainly shouldn't put past the media, because anything that will help their cause for 5 minutes, they're willing to say. They don't care. This is what they do. We saw this as well with the LA riots this week. We have Rob Eno here to discuss that next. CB Distillery. They've got a stock up sale going on right now. It is officially live, 40% on everything. It's up to 40% right now, which is a great savings. If you've got the daily stress situation, if you've got trouble sleeping, if you have post-workout soreness, which, look, happens to me all the time. I work out so much that I'm constantly sore after I work out. CB Distillery offers natural premium CBD solutions. These products aren't low quality like gas station crap. These are high quality products trusted by countless satisfied customers. CB Distillery fans are always talking about their sleep gummies. This is the big thing that they do. They also have these pain sticks. They have all sorts of different relief for everyday stress, for discomfort, for even your pets. Like, they'll even help out your pets if they are having issues. They make finding the right product really easy. Shopping is simple. You just browse by the benefit. What are you looking to solve? If you're looking for sleep support or mood enhancement or workout recovery or stuff for your pets, whatever you need, they have it nice, easy sorted. And it's really easy to find what you need. CBDistillery.com. If you go there already, this is great savings. If you've never been there before, check it out. If you've been considering CBD, give it a whirl. You can save up to 40% right now at CBDistillery.com. Use the code VIP. It's CBDistillery.com. The code is VIP. Not available in a few places like Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. But check it out now. It's CBDistillery.com. The code is VIP.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2000 Euro.
So I've been watching the media reaction to all of this going on in LA, and I'm scrolling through it, and there's just a lot of stuff going on with CNN's Brian Stelter, and he's got all these tweets out there, and you know, people on the right are calling him out and beating him up, and I'm like, you know what I need to bring on the air? There's only one person to bring on the air for this. It's Rob Eno, managing editor of Blaze News, who's part of your personal beat is anything Brian Stelter says.
Yeah,
or does.
If this ever doesn't work, I'm just going to start BrianStelterWatch.com. Somebody just bought it. I probably should have bought that a while ago.
Right, yes.
Stelter Watch.
Stelter Watch, yes.
That was my old newsletter at Conservative Review, was basically I would take Brian Stelter's daily newsletter and then counteract it.
Right.
So he did all of my research. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do anything.
Right, yeah.
All I did was just give my opinion on his newsletter.
Right, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. He's been in the news the last couple of days, and usually when there's a big Brian Stelter tweet that's going viral, I look under it and the first reply is always Rob Eno. So I know you're on these things. But a couple of them were fascinating, and it's part of, he's not the only one doing these. But one of the big pitches from the media on the LA riots is we shouldn't care about them. Because 99.9% of the rest of Los Angeles and the people in Los Angeles are just going about their business normally. So since they're all just going about their business normally, let's not overplay this. It's not that big of a deal. This riot's not a big thing.
Right. We've moved on from mostly peaceful protests to mostly peaceful L.A. County.
Right, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, most of L.A. County's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not pelting rocks and attacking a federal caravan that's trying to execute the laws of the United States in a constitutional manner. Mm-hmm. That's not happening, even though we got the video from the Department of Homeland Security of the inside of the CBP cars. You can get that at the Blaze. You can also, I think you guys had it on the Glenn Beck show. You know, we've been all over that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not happening. Right. Julio Rosas, our fearless Blaze Media national correspondent, wasn't in L.A. capturing, you know, violence and capturing LAPD shooting at protesters with, you know, rubber bullets. That wasn't happening.
The Blaze sent him to the area where the protests were going on. Why didn't they send him to, like, the beach where it was very calm? And
exactly. I mean, that you wouldn't want to. Yeah, this is the new mostly peaceful protest, right? It's like, oh, it's very small. There's only like 40 cars to 50 cars that have been set on fire.
right.
I mean, there are millions of cars
right.
in the state of California. I cannot believe that you're focused on 40 to 50 cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
That is the approach, but, like, you know, it is also so bizarre in that, like, you could say this about literally any news story. Like, when a mass shooting breaks out in a school, we could say that 99.9% of schools are fine that day. It would be true. It is, at some level, an interesting perspective. As a person who's not from L.A., like, right. I don't know, is the whole city on fire? I mean, it's not bad for me to know that it's contained in an area, but that does not demean its importance.
Right. It doesn't mean that they're not trying to expand it. I mean, there was violence. There was a little bit of violence here in Dallas a couple of days ago. They're looking to expand it. I mean, these are, I don't know if you saw the No Kings or whatever protest that's coming up this weekend.
Right, right.
But if you look at their website, part of which I guess is funded by a Walmart heiress.
Yeah, I did
hear
that.
Which is fun. Not Walmart. Walmart was very good to tell Blaze News. Yeah. It's not us.
She's
got nothing to do with us.
I mean, this is what happens when daddy's very rich. This is what happened. The Walton family, they got lots and lots of money, got divided up by a bunch of kids. You can't control what those kids do with the money. I do not blame Walmart for that.
Right. But if you look at that website, it's like the back of a Volvo. Like, all of the logos on it, it's like the back of a Moonbat's Volvo. It's crazy. But they're going to have massive protests across the country.
And
this Saturday to counter program the 250th birthday of the United States Army.
Yeah, right. And, like, the mostly peaceful thing, you know, I remember this, of course, being a thing in 2020 in that summer. And, like, we had a protest near where I live, and it was a protest, right? Like, a bunch of people came out, you know, not thousands and thousands, but, like, there was maybe 100 people out there saying, hey, like, you know, we have problems with this or whatever. And it was a legitimately peaceful protest. And, like, there were plenty of those across America, of course, but that doesn't mean that's the story, right? The story was that city after city after city was burning to the ground.
Right.
That police precincts were being taken over by protesters who were then lighting them on fire. Like, that doesn't, just because there was a protest in suburban Dallas that went okay, does not take away from those other stories.
Right. There's thousands of police precincts in the United States, Stu. I mean, it was just one.
Yeah.
It was just one. I mean, but what you saw and what you're seeing in L.A., I remember distinctly, because I grew up in Boston, distinctly watching the Boston Black Lives Matter protest, right? Mm-hmm. You would see them up until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, peaceful, a bunch of people getting together. Right about 4 o'clock, 4:30, the guys in the black suits would come.
Mm-hmm.
The kids with more money than they know what to do with from the suburbs that wanted to play Antifa would come and then get everybody there, and then they would start throwing stuff. And yes, the vast majority of the people doing this are peaceful. But there is a group of people that's using black bloc tactics to try and get these things to go violent. It's what you saw in L.A. when they were throwing rocks at federal agents. I mean, they were attacking federal agents.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. When federal agents are attacked, what do?
You bring in the National Guard to stop them. I mean, it's right there in the law. I mean, he cited the law.
Very true. Another Stelter one, which I thought was interesting, because, again, like, it's just Stelter just happens to be the person presenting this spin. This one is, I think, unique to him, where he said one of the big problems is people are under the impression that these riots and rallies are really terrible, largely because on Twitter, the Twitter algorithm is presenting videos that are hours old. And therefore, I guess we shouldn't really pay attention to them because they're so old. That's distant past, hours ago.
So this brings me to 1941.
Okay.
Brian Stelter's great uncle is apparently writing for the Los Angeles Times and says, you know, I don't understand why FDR is still all upset about this Pearl Harbor thing. It happened 2 days ago.
It's December 9th.
It's December 9th, 1941. I don't get that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what this sounds like. And I don't think that they realize that they're in a bubble. You know, they've been trying for what, 3 months now to attack Trump?
Mm-hmm.
His polling numbers are going up,
mm-hmm.
which is absolutely insane if you listen to the media.
Right.
Right. And I think that his polling numbers are going to go up after what he did in Los Angeles. What happened in Los Angeles is they got violent. Mm-hmm. They attacked federal law enforcement. Donald Trump sent in the National Guard and everything diffused. It forced the L.A. police and the California Highway Patrol and the people, the Democratic leaders in California to do their jobs and stop it from spiraling out of control. He did not pour gasoline on a fire like Brian Stelter and the media wants to say. He brought in overwhelming force, which he tried to do on January 6th, by the way, and then Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell said no.
Mm-hmm.
The Capitol Police chief, Sund, who was the chief at that day, wanted the people that, or wanted the National Guard that Donald Trump said we should send in, and he was overruled by two other people on that board. And now the media is saying, well, he didn't send in the National Guard on January 6th.
Very convenient.
Well, he tried to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's insane.
Yeah. So let me move to one other story before we run out of time here, which is I'm fascinated by the story, Terry Moran.
Right.
Now, Moran's been around for a long time. If you speak the language of watching the news every single day, you know he's a liberal. I mean, it's quite clear in his news coverage. It wasn't really news coverage.
Right.
It was definitely to the left. He went over that line, unfortunately for him, by tweeting on his account that basically bad things about Stephen Miller, that he's a hater, a world-class hater. He eats his hate. It was this really weird, like, overly poetic, cinematic version of how much he hates Stephen Miller, which, okay, whatever. There was no surprise that he hated Stephen Miller, but he's not supposed to tweet that on the account. He got suspended. He's now been fired.
He's been fired. This happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. I am not saying that Terry Moran may have had a few adult beverages before tweeting this.
Yeah, this seems suspicious.
You know, I think for everybody, you take this mm-hmm. and you lock it in a closet mm-hmm. after you've had a few. I think I once got so bad that I actually created a new Facebook account because I couldn't get into my Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so things happen mm-hmm. when you've had a couple to drink. Mm-hmm. I would not do that. But you often tell the truth
mm-hmm.
when you've had a few to drink. Saying that that's what happened, but I could imagine that that's what happened. And yeah, you can't, all he did was pull the mask off though, right?
Right.
I mean, back to Stelter, that's what I said. I'm like, hey, Brian, you should pull the mask off too. It would be refreshing if you all pull the mask off. And then you get the guy that works at the Blaze. I don't know. Like, when did I say that I was not?
Your mask's biased? Off, right? My mask's off. Glenn Beck's mask
is off.
Right?
We don't say that we're a neutral arbiter.
Yeah. I have a conservative perspective. That's that's how I look at the world. And yes, a lot of times you're going to see a conservative perspective when you hear my opinion on the news. But that is what I'm doing.
Right.
They are hiding it. And what's disturbing about this is he got fired not because he's a terrible journalist and has been for decades and has had this bias throughout all of his news coverage for decades. It's that he actually just admitted who he was. That's the thing he gets fired for. When he stops lying,
right.
That's when he gets in trouble. That's not a great message to be sending.
It's not, but it's all of them. And that's why I like working here. Right? At Blaze News, we are getting original comment. We're doing real news, right? We're not just aggregating what other people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing more of that lately over the past couple of months. We're getting comment from the White House about what they're doing. We're getting comment from senators, from mm-hmm. you know, people in the news. We had a great Simone Biles story where we got female athletes, you know, defending Riley Gaines, mm-hmm. right? That was original to the Blaze. We're doing that news. So we're not telling the truth.
Yeah.
But we have it from a perspective.
A point of view.
But you know that that's our perspective because we are unashamed of it.
Right. And they treat it like you know, journalism is just another branch of science, right? Like where right. that we are just telling you down the middle every single day. There's no bias here at all. We're professionals. And yet this is what they're really doing. Like, I don't know if you have this additional part of the theory here. Yeah. My additional part to the adult beverages theory, which is a theory, is he's had a burner account this whole time. And he just tweeted it from the wrong freaking account. Like, there's somewhere out there where there's 50,000 tweets from Terry Moran about how every single one of his actual opinions, and it's been going on forever, he just forgot to click over to the other account this one time. And that's what burned him. That's my theory. Again, it's a theory.
We need to get the Twitter oddists that all went to work for Doge on MediaBurners.com.
Yes.
Like finding all the media burner accounts.
Now that's
like,
going to be taken like too, that website.
That would be, I know it's going to be taken. I don't have the resources.
But it's true. You remember this, you'll remember the scandal from a few years ago where there was that like journalist, like, I don't know what it was. It was like almost like a Slack channel. It wasn't. Right. It was before Slack. But it was like they had that little like database where they would all kind of talk about the news stories together. Remember this? And then someone leaked all the stuff.
Right.
It was all biased. Right. It was all to the left.
The journalist.
Journalist. Thank you
so much. It was an email list. Yeah,
it was an email list. And they all talked openly amongst each other with their real opinions. And then when we saw them, it was like, yeah, well, we knew they were like that. But like, this is incredible. They're actually talking like this openly to each other. And then coming on the news and telling us, no, we're actually unbiased. And when we criticize them and say they're biased, they get angry.
Right. And they will use, and their bias comes in numerous ways. You know, it's the experts say, well, it's, you know, the experts from the nonprofit left wing.
Right. Find the right expert.
But it's nonprofit.
It's like doctor shopping, right? Find your expert. Right?
That is exactly what all the fact check sites are. Mm-hmm. It's why we got demonetized during COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually would have more respect for ABC if they kept him and said, now you know what his perspective is.
Yeah, and you know what? We're launching an investigation to look back at his previous reporting to see if we can see this type of bias in it. Like, and again, would they do a good job with that? No, but they should freaking take this seriously. Like that is, the way he wrote that, and I don't have the quote here, and I know we gotta take a break, but it was like, it was visceral. Right. It was dripping from his mouth. He was so angry and hates this guy so much. There's no way he could cover him fairly. Like, he wrote almost like a poem about how much he hates the guy. I don't hate anybody that much. And it's like, I don't know how they can't take this seriously. Like, you know, Taylor Lorenz is another one. I mean, she's completely insane. Both the New York Times and the Washington Post should be going back and doing public evaluations of everything they wrote, correcting it.
Right.
You know, going through that whole process. They haven't done that.
But they won't.
You're right. They won't. But this is why we can't take them seriously.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, you nailed it there, Rob. Rob, you know, Blaze News editor, StelterWatch.com.
It's coming. Well, now maybe. Maybe. You guys have all taken it.
Maybe Blaze or MediaBurners.com could be starting up soon, too, as well. Who knows how many sites are around the corner. Rob, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mundt reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Well, Elon is sorry. And yes, this is an expected turn, I would say, in the tale of all of this. Elon Musk says he regrets some of his social media posts about Trump. He said they went too far in a post on his platform, X. I think Trump responded. It was basically, I'm glad he said that. It was nice of him to say that. I mean, I don't think they're getting back together. I don't think they're going to be buddies again like they were, which is unfortunate. Hopefully, eventually, we can get back to that. But this is a very, very predictable pattern with Elon Musk. His book, the Walter Isaacson biography of him, which gave Isaacson a lot of access to Elon Musk, paints kind of a picture where this is pretty common, where Musk kind of goes into these periods where he's just brilliant and he's doing all these amazing things, and that lasts a year or 2 years, 3 years. And then there seems to be a period of just like this manic, you know, I don't know, craziness, for lack of a better way to explain it, where he kind of flies off the handle and he does a lot of erratic things that wind up hurting him and his businesses. Often throughout the book, often illustrated and signified by Musk being mean to people around him. That is, unfortunately, happened to, you know, that story was told several times in the book. His own employees, people who, you know, hit people in his life, his, you know, his female companions. I don't know if he was ever married to them. I guess he was at one point, but, you know, that type of stuff. You know, his relatives had bad relations with them at times. Sometimes, you know, just normal stuff. Sometimes it just seemed like, you know, again, like he describes himself with Asperger's. You should, you know, Asperger's isn't actually technically a thing anymore. It was all kind of folded into the autism spectrum years and years ago. And it's one of the reasons why the rates are higher. He said had Asperger's. He may have had that diagnosed when he was young. Although he said it was never actually officially diagnosed. Anyway, long story short, you know, it's a kind of a similar story that we talked about with Greta. Like, she seems to have real problems, and he goes through these issues as well. He's also brilliant, unlike Greta. He's also brilliant and does incredible things that benefit this country, and was very, very important through the election period, and hopefully will be important again politically. But it feels like he entered some sort of erratic period here, and this is one of the ways it manifested itself and maybe blew up a relationship that was, you know, could have been very important for the country. So I do hope that kind of reverses itself. We will see. One other story I want to tell you about: Greg Abbott here in Texas, deploying Texas National Guard in anticipation of the protest. You know, it is one of those things where you're like, I don't know. Do you need the National Guard in Texas? I mean, can't we loan it to another country that, or another state that doesn't have the people of Texas in it? Like, we're going to be like, you're not doing that here. I think that's part of the reason here in Texas that you don't see as much of that as you see in a California or a New York or a D.C. But the National Guard, I'm glad we're preparing for what might happen this weekend. Could be something big. Hopefully it's not. In addition to that, I will say Trump and the immigration movement, the pro-immigration or pro-restrictive illegal immigration movement, if you will, is in a really good position here, because people don't like when protest groups are lighting cars on fire in the streets. I know this is shocking to the left to hear, to the media to hear, but it's true. Americans hate that. They don't want you to do it. In fact, you have to push them so far beyond where we are with this stuff to get them on board with something like that. I mean, like, basically never do it unless it's like, you know, you're fighting back against slavery. You're fighting back against, I don't know, Hitler actually in office, not your imagined orange Hitler, but like the real one. There are some places where the Americans can get on board with fighting back against their government like this. But generally speaking, we don't want chaos. So as long as the people, the agents on hand, are able to control themselves and not make big mistakes, because the American people also don't like if you're beating people up for no reason. As long as you don't cross lines, this is going to be a very positive thing for Trump and the entire movement. Although that can shake apart at any time. It's chaos. And that's one of the reasons why the left likes it so much. Buying, selling, anything you're doing with a home in 2025 means drowning in paperwork. It means taking tax forms and trying to make them, trying to figure out somehow to make that work. It's like tax forms times 10. Every step forward is basically going to reveal new obstacles. Financing approved on Monday can fall apart by Friday. That perfect inspection becomes a horror movie sequel. We're selling a house of one of our relatives and working through that process with them. And they had someone come in and make a great offer. And we were like, sure, whatever, that sounds good. And then, of course, they pulled out. And then we had to wait for another one to come back in. And then there was all that. And then there was the inspection. And it's like always a hassle. You need someone on your side. We had someone great on our side working on this house and dealing with all these bumps in the road as they were coming up. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a place to go to find that person in your area. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's free service to you, by the way. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. This Father's Day, give your husband or your dad or your grandpa or your great-grandpa a gift that truly resonates with who he is. in a world that often mocks masculinity and traditional values and fatherhood. Give him something that actually is going to be a community that supports him. That's Blaze TV. No big surprise here. I love Blaze TV. Here, bold conservative voices defend faith, family, and freedom. And right now, you can grab our Father's Day special and get $30 off an annual subscription. Use the code DAD30 if you go there. It's going to be a checkout, and that'll save you that $30. Hurry, this is only available this week. Skip the predictable gifts. Make Father's Day meaningful a little bit for your dad or your husband. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. StuDoesAmerica.com. Get you the entire Blaze TV lineup. Use the code DAD30 and save $30.